Welcome to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. Straight talk, enthusiastic support, and heartfelt encouragement for you to open up to your sacred sexuality. And now your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Hey, my love. Thank you. I am excited and honored to be here and delighting in this exquisite late summer morning. It's like cool and sunny here, and I get to hear insects. I'm walking out in the morning, early morning, and hearing the sort of late summer insects, which are just delightful. It has a certain meaning for me. And then I'm seeing like fall leaves just beginning. You know, we're just heading in. We're in this like transition time from late summer to early fall. And it's really sweet. So I am honored to be here. And each month as we explore on this topic of sacred sexuality, we're going to explore different topics, education, awareness, meditation, ways to plug into and listen to our body, stories of this journey, inspirational aha moments, and really slow down and allow ourselves to plug in and listen deeply to our bodies. So as we do, let's begin with that today, with a breath. Settling in, feeling where you are, noticing the moment. Notice, how do you feel when you give yourself permission to make a little sound on exhale? La 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 la. Feeling your body, acknowledging your breath, and noticing the sensations of being here now. Invite an exhale to carry away anything that's complete. Making sound. Feeling your connection with earth, with ground, in whatever way you relate to that in the moment. Maybe below you, through seat or through floor. Making a little space. And then an inhale to welcome in light, life, vibrancy, aliveness, feeling what it's like to shift our awareness to one of gratitude, like, yes, being here on the planet in this time as one of, yes, I feel grateful for being in my body. And even when it feels frustrating, even when we feel it feels hard, even when we relate to our bodies from a different place, to take a moment of gratitude and go, you know, there's something I'm grateful for. What is that? What is that place of gratitude that we can connect to meet appreciation for ourselves? So taking a moment to meet that appreciation. And with that, a bit of a breath of gratitude for yourself, for taking time for you, for exploring perhaps something new, different, new ways of seeing the world, familiar ways of seeing the world, affirmations in that. And as you do, gently coming back into awareness of the space around you, opening your eyes into the visual. And being here now. Yay. So today, as we explore, I'm feeling a bit inspired by a new way of looking at the body. That for me, this has been something I've been sitting with now for years and years, is how can I articulate what is it like to really look at and meet the human body and human sexuality with a new frame of reference. New from a place that I sat in years ago, it was very traditional. It was very, you know, for years I was in a place of walking what I often call kind of the traditional corporate heteronormative path. You know, growing up, going to school, doing really well at that, kind of in my particular case, type A overachiever. So it was about do, more, putting things on the goal list, getting them done. And body-wise, you know, it was very much a set of parts. Like, yep, my body's a set of parts. Oh, this part is broken and needs fixed. And I had, as an endurance athlete, often I was in a place of bumping into overuse injuries and stress injuries and really weird things that would happen from high pressure in my body, like this time where I sort of burst a blood vessel in my eye because I was putting so much pressure inside my body during a swimming event, instead of letting it move through and have space to flow, which I didn't have any concept of what that meant at that point. So building up this pressure, this stress, it was like an analogy of my life, like build, hold it in, store it, right? And finally, the weakest link breaks. And I had that happen a lot. And at the time, you know, it was, okay, well, let's go to the doctor, let's get the fix, let's get the, you know, what do I need when I've got this bronchitis and I'm still going to race? And so, okay, let's get the inhaler and like, or, you know, I've got a broken finger. Oh, wait, 3 broken fingers. Oh, well, let's just rig up the bike on the stationary trainer and bike so I don't have to use the brake handle. And just crazy things in terms of how I pushed. And as I say crazy, I also remember, you know, I also felt really good. Like, hey, I'm doing more things. I'm accomplishing more in my life. I can see how that when I set my mind to something, I can get it done. And that's a real positive. So it's not only beating myself up for times that I was, quote, beating myself up, but also accepting myself for those times that said, hey, you know, even though as I look back, I might think, wow, I was crazy to push so hard. The reality was, wow, that also really supported me to see that I could do what I needed to do and get things done. And, you know, awesome how empowering that was to support me in my life around my confidence to move through the world. So my point from that era is I really looked at things from a traditional viewpoint in terms of body and traditional medicine. So if I had something that I was dealing with, I went into the traditional medical system. I'd go to the doctor. You know, I have this rash. What's the prescription cream? You know, or I have this infection. What are the antibiotics that I can take? And I did all these things from a traditional medical pharmaceutical standpoint. And, you know, often those things would work to an extent, but there might be places where they didn't work as well, or I'd kind of find myself swimming in a spiral of like wanting it to be different, but not really knowing ways to make it different, and other than trying to pop a pill or do a thing. And what I want to invite was like, as I felt stuck in that, and as I started to wake up into my own journey, which was one of like really the universe coming in and saying, oh, sister, you don't get to just like grip at life this way you've been gripping in your engineering endurance athlete world. You also need to see that you can let go of the reins and trust. And I had what I'll call a spiritual awakening connected with pregnancy and birth of my daughter that woke me up to see that I couldn't just do everything by putting it on a list. And as that began and it emerged, I started to notice and really connect with like, oh, there is another way. And then over the years, as I met in my body, all the different ways in which my body was carrying information, you know, which what at the time I called, you know, pain or discomfort or disease. And what I learned was, oh, this is information. How can I meet this information in a different way and invite maybe my body to feel good enough and be resourced in a way that it can now let go of the way it was carrying and holding some of this information. And that was really profound as it started to emerge. And it was hard to put into words. So for me, it sort of began with like noticing places in my body that that were communicating with me, sometimes screaming very loudly, but I was having a hard time hearing, and they'd been screaming for years. So the path of slowing down to really start to notice those messages started to open up not only what were the messages and, oh my gosh, I could start to make the changes, and, oh wow, see the changes in my body and the healing that is possible by meeting this, then also over time starting to be able to articulate what it was I was seeing. And that's the place I feel very alive in at the moment. How can I put in words what all this has been and the spectrum of healing and possibility that can open by perhaps shifting our awareness a little bit or opening to a wider view of the way our human bodies are and our sexuality is. So that's what I want to invite. We're going to explore that a little bit today. What is this new way of looking at the body as an offering, as a possibility, as a, hey, I'm not saying this is a comprehensive view. I'm not saying this is the only way. But wow, what I have seen over my own personal journey and my work with thousands of hours with clients is that doing things a different way works. And wow, like, isn't that great to just know that there are other possibilities than the ones that we have traditionally seen? And not only is doing it a different way work, but when two ways come together, when the path of traditional medicine kind of weaves in with the path of alternative awareness and therapies, and the right balance clicks for any particular situation, then wow, I think there's even it's like the 1 + 1 is greater than 2, as we talked about in partnership and couplehood. I feel that in this, that this, like, when we can meet our bodies with the whole awareness that says, hey, here's one facet, and the traditional systems that tend to look primarily at a physical anatomical view of the body as a set of parts or systems working together, that plus, you know, our mental thinking, talking, that traditional psychotherapy, for example, works with is our mental body and our the capacity to figure things out and intellectualize, which is also exquisitely and divinely human. Like, it's awesome and a beautiful piece of this journey. But those physical mental pieces are not the only facets of who we are. And if we widen our view and say, okay, yes, those, and yes, some of these traditional modalities work really great with those, then let's go, okay, and we're emotional beings, we're spiritual beings. What's it like to start to widen our perspective and our awareness of who we are, what our bodies are, and then meet them with a wider set of tools? You know, okay, I have these traditional modalities and tools and techniques and skills and offerings, and I have alternative ways of meeting my body. And wow, those might take a perspective that says, hey, the emotional body is really important. Hey, did we know that the emotional body, when it doesn't get its workout, when it doesn't get its way to express, it stores and stuff in such a way that we carry it, and it affects the physical body and the mental body. And so now, if we're not addressing the emotional piece, and we're trying to just put patches on the mental and the physical, we're missing the whole root, and we're missing a whole facet of our being. It's almost as if, you know, we're not looking at an arm. Like, it's, you know, we look at physical bodies and we think, well, yeah, okay, here's the set of parts and systems. So, you know, it would be ridiculous to not pay attention to the fact there's an arm there. But we don't look at emotional body that way. We don't look at spiritual body that way. They just get overlooked. They don't get seen often. Not always. So what I want to invite is, let's widen. How can we look at the body? What's a new framework of looking at the body so that we can offer this? I can offer this as a new way to look at the body that will open new layers, you know, open doors. Like, woo, let's open this door to this, peek down this hallway, and find that there are new layers of healing possible when we can perceive the body in a different way, that we now have new ways of inviting healing. And again, this is just profound because I've seen it over and over and over again. I've seen it in my own body. I've seen it in my practice that, yes, doing things in this different way works. So one of the things that I want to say before we even get into that way is that it does work. And it's really, I also think it's sometimes common, and I know I've seen myself do this, where as I see that there are new ways, sometimes I'll shove away the old ones. Like, oh, that's just, you know, I don't want to do it that way anymore. It didn't work. Well, yeah, there are facets maybe of those old ways that don't work or don't resonate for you anymore or don't feel like they're part of yours. But we all have this power of choice that's amazing. So how do we balance our engagement with the different modalities so that we are at choice and we are now advocates for ourselves. And we create our team, our tribe of people, allies, you know, maybe it's medical professionals, alternative healers. We now have a tribe of people that we can relate to and work with and find the optimum balance for wherever we are in our journey for our healing path. So, for example, I had a client come to me, and we worked with only one or two sessions. It was we worked for a series, but it was probably after about the second session, so a short amount of time. And he was like, I can't believe how much is shifting and how much better I feel. And the things that he was concerned with were lifting, and he was finding healing in his body. He's like, this is so amazing. How come I didn't find you? You know, I spent 30 years in psychotherapy and wasn't able to meet this in this way. And oh my gosh, why didn't I find you sooner? And he was kind of feeling bad. And I said, take a breath. And this is awesome, right? That 30 years of psychotherapy is what supported you to have a level of awareness, to bring a level of witnessing, of conscious, like, oh, I get it. I can intellectually see that, you know, X, Y, or Z about my journey. That can be super supportive to give the body and the mental body, the physical body, a sense of like, okay, a sense of safety, a sense of organization. So that once we have that, now the body might be resourced in a way where we can meet these new layers in the emotional or the spiritual or the energetic we're going to talk about. So the energetic bodies now have some space to be heard and seen when we have maybe met some of the content first, you know, a little more rationally or a little more mentally. And that I find sometimes is just the complement that's needed to be ready for something to unwind. And so to reassure him, like, hey, that 30 years of psychotherapy was what supported you to be ready to meet this next step of the journey. And how awesome that your body feels ready to meet it in this way, that we can make this much shift, this much progress in such a short amount of time. And that's really an amazing, and I've seen it over and over again, how powerful and profound this work can be when we can bring both pieces in. My own journey, I've seen this in my own journey with food. I've shared a lot about that in these programs. I won't go back into the history of it, but to just say quickly, like, when I can meet with my alternative practitioners, you know, and work with acupuncture and energy practices and yoga and Qigong, and also you know, functional medicine, which has a different perspective than traditional medicine, but also have a traditional physician on my team that I can go to for the blood work in the labs, and then maybe there is the time that I meet, you know, a prescription for a topical, that maybe it is time to work with that, but that I'm no longer beating myself up saying I have to only do this with alternative therapies, that I can go, you know, maybe there's a time they come together and they meet. And I've seen that with a friend of mine who's had just an amazingly powerful life-changing journey with cancer, and her journey of creating tribe and creating and a network of professionals around her that range the whole gamut of traditional medicine to very esoteric healing, and how through this balance and her choices of how, which ones came in where and when, and how was that balance and what did that look like, and to see the magic that happened in her journey of survival, and more than survival, thrive, see her bright and light and walking on this planet in this exquisitely full, open, loving way. Is just so heartwarming to watch. And to see that, the thriving of health and wellness that we can meet when we maybe open our our eyes, our bodies, our hearts, to see the wide spectrum of possibility around us, and meet it with our own, you know, with the clarity that we, and our confidence in who we are, so that we can be advocates for ourselves, but also the compassion and the loving respect of going, okay, not every way is for me, but that doesn't mean that they're bad. Maybe I just release that and invite this other way, and I don't carry then as much heaviness around the frustration and the anger that can come when we feel like a path isn't working for us. So what does this mean? We're going to come back in a moment after a short break to really explore, what is this new framework I'm talking about? How can we meet the body in a different way?
You are listening live to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. Today is Tuesday, September 19th, 2017. And you are listening to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. If you'd like to talk with Leslie live on the air, give us a call at 646-378-0378. That number again is 646-378-0378. And now back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
So we're working with what is a new framework? How can we articulate this new framework of the body? And a new framework of acceptance of the body to meet a new way of opening doors of healing. And we're doing this here on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. A lot of listeners who are aware of this framework. This is familiar territory for many of you listening through this network, right? Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. You know, we're already honoring right in the title that we're a whole being. You know, we'll add emotion to that and say, you know, here we go. We're energetic beings. So we're going to start with, we are infinite beings in finite form. So widening our perspective, our awareness from a place of, I'm a physical body that I'm defined by this skin and flesh that I'm in, and instead say yes and, like, yes, I have this physical body I'm currently connected with. It is mine. It is my body temple. But that also I am an energetic being, and we can call that, you know, I have a soul, maybe, if that resonates, or that word just carries too much for you, like setting that aside and just saying, hey, I am an infinite energetic being that has also a physical form, a finite self. And that this capacity, what that means is it's exquisite when we go, wow, it's yes and. So yes, I can tap into the infinite realms, the realm of the other, the unseen, the things I can't touch and feel and see with traditional senses, but it's very real and very there. So that's a power of energetics that we'll come back to. And we get to be in a physical body. Like, what a gift to be in physical form. That through a physical organism, a physical body, that's how we meet and relate to the world. It's how we bring energy, you know, create energy for our body, bring food into our body and converting that into forms that we can use, sunlight on our skin, prana in our breath, all these ways that we can meet the world and nature and gain energy, you know, work with and create and have energy to fuel this body. And that our sexual energy is that one that can like double, triple, and exponentially grow in ways that others can't is really profound, because now we can start to work with it with a wide awareness that says, yes, sexual energy, sure, that can be about recreational or procreational sex, and those are beautiful and wonderful in their own right. And this energy, this power, when we can tap into it with that awareness, we can work with it for healing of our bodies. We can work with it for connection deeply with others, for transcendence, for connection with source, divine, God, in whatever way we relate to that realm of other. And to manifest, it's creative energy. Think about it. Our sexual energy is what created us. It's what brought us here. So that power of creative is there. And so we can work with sexual energy intentionally for creating the world. You know, what do we want to create in the world? What are the projects or the, you know, it can be a creative project, like an art project, but it can also be like how, you know, what's your next work project? What is it that you're birthing through your body? You know, for me, this book, for example, that I'm writing right now is a creative gestational process. And one of the things that's been so hard about it, because I've been working on it for a while now, is, you know, my engineering rational brain that, you know, used to be in the scientific world. And anything I wrote was either a lab report or a master's thesis or some publication, you know, technical writing. Technical writing comes from the head. It's totally intellect, at least when I did it in my body. So that's a very mental thing. And yeah, okay, I did that fine. I did that of service. Yet the way I'm writing this book now, it's a creative gestational process of like gestating and labor and delivery. And like, it's literally a creation, you know, moving it through the body. And there's that applies to so many things. And when we can start to meet this energy, it's amazing what can open up to open this pathway in our body of what I'll call trusting the body in a way where we're reclaiming that power that we have. We don't have to rely on somebody outside ourselves to do it for us, that we've got this connection and we can co-create in our lives. So so that's a little bit of what I mean. We're looking at a new framework where as a body, we're not just a set of physical parts and cells and systems that interact and function together. That's one model. And we are also energetics. And many of the ancient traditional, so when I say traditional all along in this program, so far I've been meaning sort of traditional Western medicine. I should be clear that, you know, if I use the word traditional in another context, in sort of the ancient teachings of Eastern thought of native indigenous peoples, those traditional themes are the other side, this what we're calling alternative in the Western world. But that, you know, Eastern medicine or traditional Chinese medicine, these are, and then even the yogic path, the tantric yogis, the Egyptian sexual alchemical path, all these paths of sacred sexuality, the Taoist, they're bringing in, you know, a different traditional view that is a complement to the Western. And it's another way, and it's really acknowledging that the body is indeed an energetic being and a system as well as a physical one. So we look at the body with, you might say, with meridians or with chakras or energy centers, nadis, you know, different ways of looking at the central channel. We could call that the spine and the vertebrae, but we might also say, hey, there's the sushumna or the pillar. Like, there's all these different ways that we can look at the energetics of the body and the physical being, physical organism. And different traditions name them in different ways. What I want to invite for the context of this is to just say, yes, let's acknowledge the body as energetic as well as physical. So once we do that, and once we start to witness, like, okay, as an energetic being, we're actually consciousness, you know, we are consciousness, laying into a physical form. So we're through, even embryologically speaking, we're literally, as we come in and the cells start to divide and then we get to this place, you know, in early embryology, in the womb space of the mother, we're starting to unfurl and develop as a conscious being within the physical framework of this human body that's developing and cells dividing and things. So we're coming together. As we do that, the experiences we have, the fields that we are exposed to or resting in, we're like steeped like a tea bag in our mother's womb, right? Like, I've heard that phrase before. And so we're also steeped in the energetic fields of whatever it is that's holding us. So the fields that we're coming into form within, the experiences we start to meet after we're born, you know, within the womb, but also after we're born. And, you know, as we're held by parents or not held by parents, as we're related to in different ways, Like, what does that look like? How does that shape us? This is literally creates and it shapes our physical form as we grow in our energetic form. So the experiences in the field shape us, and that we can start to recognize when we can start to bring some intellectual awareness to it later that says, oh, if these fields form and shape us, then maybe having some awareness of them might give us some clues into why or how things that we've noticed in our lives have been developing in our bodies. And that gets to another piece that we'll come back to in a second. So this framework is being an infinite being in finite form. We are an energetic being. And if we can start to work with ourselves as energetic beings and acknowledge that we have the capacity to tap into realms we can't touch and see and feel traditionally, then we're now starting to work with the new importance that comes up from this new framework, which is, what's it like to actually listen to the body instead of assume we know what's best for it intellectually? Let's listen directly to the body. Meet ways to discern what those messages are and start to really trust and reclaim our connection with our bodies and our power. So it becomes, you know, taking the way we've done it in the past, which was thinking and planning and fixing and doing and going, okay, well maybe some of that isn't as supportive as we thought it was. And now let's open to things like listening, slowing down, discerning, trusting, feeling, reclaiming. So as we do that, we're going to now start this process of what I call, and this isn't, for some, this is like so old hat. Like, depending on how we've grown up, this type of awareness can be right present with us growing up. In my case, and in many of the people around me in my world, that wasn't the case. I grew up in a very traditionally Western, Americanized life that I started to wake up to seeing these other things and recognizing that there was so much more. So that's the context that I'm sharing in. So when I say, what's it like to recreate the relationship that we have with ourselves? And to go, you know, am I looking at myself in a way, in my body? You know, if my background, if my life has been one of, oh, I need to, you know, in Western society, oh my gosh, media and social views often show this thing of certain body perspectives, like, oh, bodies have to look like this. If you don't look like this, you must strive for a body to look like this. And so there's these standards and expectations that are completely unrealistic, completely set up on entertainment value and false truths, instead of really going, hey, what's that body authentically? How does it authentically express? We don't have to force fit ourselves into what something else is. Our gift in this world is to be who we are and to express our authentic self. We are the only person that can do ourselves so good. You know, you are the only person that can do you. Don't try to be anybody else. That's just painful. Being who we are and acknowledging and accepting ourselves for exactly who we are can create the very foundation that says, oh, maybe then as I accept myself, even if I'm accepting parts of myself I didn't think I was too happy about, what starts to happen when I do? And my experience has been, when I started to love my body, even parts of my body that I didn't think I loved, you know, having disdain for my thighs or my belly or whatever that was that I had for various times, in my range of weights that have ranged a good 60 plus pounds over the course of my life up and down, that when I started to love my body for exactly how and who and what she is, she started to go, oh, really? And actually change to support that loving view. It was really interesting to me to watch that and go, oh, wow, this is for real. I really can, through my thoughts and intention, shape and create who I am. And without expectation. It's not like, okay, I'm going to love this part because I have to make a change. I'm going to love this part. I'm going to love me and accept me. So recreating the relationship with ourselves becomes crucial Because if we are in a place of hating, we aren't opening the space of healing possibility, because we are energy. We are energetic beings in a body. We really come back to like this field, this initial source field of love, of loving compassion. The way through life, the way of healing, the way of connection, the way of the journey is through love and returning to love and returning the things that aren't love back to love. So can we meet the fears, the disdain, the hatred, the anger, and invite it back into, you know, be transmuted, not shove it away, not try to cut it off, not say, oh, anger's bad, so I'm going to sweep that under the rug, but instead meet it, transmute it, have the body actually explore what is that content so that it can be released, shifted, transmuted, cleared. And again, like what I want to come back to, I don't want to try to imply that when we feel like something needs healed or shifted or changed that we're bad or that we're broken and something needs fixed. Health is always present. And the body is always in its, the body is incredibly wise. The wisdom of the universe is in here. And if we let ourselves notice that and give it some space, it actually can make huge changes. So when the body actually will find its way to the homeostasis, to the equilibrium that is of the best and most limited harsh impact to the system at any given moment. And that's a big deal. Think about that. So let's say we get hit by a soccer ball on the shoulder, and where we're at that day or with our experience in our body, the soccer ball rolls off the shoulder. We shake it off a little bit. We move on. We don't even feel it. Next day, we've forgotten about it. It's gone. Well, what if we meet that soccer ball on the shoulder, but we're in a different place or our body, whatever, and it hurts. It like hits and it's like, whoa. And now the body says, whoa, there's an impact, a force that's coming from the outside world that we're going to now meet with this sort of divine presencing. And this comes from the biodynamic cranial sacral work that I also do. So in that school of thought, this would be called the breath of life. I'll just call it like this exquisite divine presence, this source presence comes in and along with our body and says, let me hold you together in this way that limits the impact on the system to what can be handled right now by the body. Because, you know, we're always innately, intrinsically want to align to our wholest, truest selves all the time. You know, it's like even our instincts for survival. You know, we have core instincts. We will do things. We have amazing bouts of strength in the middle of an emergency because yes, we are programmed and have a core intrinsic alignment to surviving and thriving. So if we let ourselves trust that's really there, then we have this awareness that wow, the body really is. If it's holding something, it's just because that's the best way the body can meet it right now, the whole system as a whole, energetic systems, physical systems. So it might be that the emotional content that's being held there is just too much for the body to handle if it were to break free. So let's let it meet in this physical way for a bit until the body's ready to acknowledge the emotion that's held there and meet that emotion without it being overwhelming. And that's the key, is meeting this gently, you know, is going, I don't have to push or force or rip open or dive back into the bonfire of old traumas, but then instead we can say, how could we gently meet you, body? What do you have to say right now? So that the now, this as we claim this new awareness of the body and acknowledge the new importance of listening and trusting, now we meet it differently. So instead of the brain going, well, I have this thing wrong, so I need to go do this thing to fix it, we go, oh, brain, I hear you. Okay, that's a piece. Well, that's a data point. We'll set that aside. Maybe we'll use that. But can we also go, okay, shoulder, how can I love you? How can I help you feel safe? What do you need from me right now? And listen and actually get guidance from within our bodies and from the realm of our connection with spirit. And it's this process that has been a part of my journey now for years that I have seen. And when I trust it, and believe me, it is not easy. It is not easy to trust it, in my experience. I have met skepticism in my own body in so many ways. I've been like, oh, yeah, right. Oh, yeah, right. Like, that's going to work. And then something, you know, as I really listen and I trust and I trust and I plug in and I really feel down into the core of my being and I start to acknowledge the ways in which I can discern what those messages are so that I can peel away the times when it's a, you know, oh, that's just a resistance thing or a wounded piece of myself or my ego that's having this to say. Instead, saying, hey, you know, that this is an authentic message. So that discernment, that takes practice, and there's pieces of that in this journey that are a part of, you know, what I offer as a guide, but also a part of our own self journey. Like, this is why it's not super easy sometimes, because we do get mixed messages when we're listening. The messages of the body don't usually come out in our native language. It's not like the shoulder saying, yes, you need to do this, right? As if there were some specific, direct, clear instruction. Now, sometimes it is. It's kind of nice, actually. But sometimes it isn't that clear. And the invitation might be to not act, you know, to not push. Quit trying to fix me. Would you just let me be? And then to go, well, oh, can I just let my shoulder be and have some space for a bit and see what emerges if I can really hold space and not be so pesky at pushing around in there. Can I give it space? Can I hold space for my own body? I had a hard time with that. That's for sure. So taking this new framework and then acknowledging the new importance of listening now and acknowledging the new framework itself of how the body carries stuff. So this information or how it carries trauma that I was just referring to, right? We gather, we relate to, we experience the world. That's how we collect and our body may carry little bits from our journey as infants or during birth. We may carry stuff from an experience in a prior lifetime, you know, or we may just carry stuff from the field of our experiences that wasn't really ours directly, but it was our parents, you know, steeped in the field of anger and violence that was back a generation ago. And we as sensitive little sponge beings, which many of us are, absorb it and carry it. And so instead of you know, that becoming like, well, I'm not going to, oh, well, that's not mine, so I need to figure out a way to push it away, to go, no, well, actually, if I'm carrying it, you know, even if it was coming from another being, it's apparently part of my journey to meet it because it's here, right? It's here. And so just acknowledging that level of our own responsibility, accountability with our own beings to meet what we see in our body. And part of what we might learn in that are ways to create and hold space for ourselves that we need to strengthen. But part of it might be, how do we learn to open our heart to trust and love so that we can be relax open into our vulnerability? You know, I know I've learned pieces of both of those in my journey, and I'm sure there's more, but that it isn't always one thing or another. My own capacity to really, how can I hold space for myself, has strengthened, where it's not just being aggressive or mean about it, as I used to sometimes, but instead being really compassionate for others and myself, and how much cleaner that is to hold that space, but also then to create the safety that my body needs so I can open and be vulnerable. And maybe recognize that, you know, I don't have this answer. So can I just open to be with it for right now? Or to open to let another relating, you know, maybe it's another person in my path that will help me meet that piece because it wasn't ready for me for it to be seen on my own. So letting people into my life, whew, that's also been hard. I grew up in a place of thinking I needed to just keep everybody out and do it all myself, or otherwise I was setting myself up for pain. So letting myself acknowledge that and let people in has been a part of my personal healing journey. So this new framework, the new framework for the body, the new framework for how it holds and stores information, and the new framework for the importance of the body, all these coming together helps us meet our bodies so much differently, with so much care and appreciation and love, that it starts to come from an intrinsic place that we can't help but acknowledge and honor our body in new ways, because it comes from this loving care of its importance. If we continue to hold it in a place of lower status, right? Like, oh, I don't care what my body does, you know, blah, 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 and move through life and beat it up and take in toxins and drink and eat things that aren't even food, that are named as food. There are so many ingredients in traditional American food that aren't food, that, like, maybe we just start to notice and go, oh, well, maybe I shift and acknowledge that this physical organism that I'm in, it needs the building blocks to rebuild cells and to make new pathways in my neural nets so that my brain can function with clear clarity and you know, wide awake vibrancy and light instead of foggy or heavy or stagnant types of experiences. That maybe if what I do is just look at my body differently, I'll start to intrinsically go, wow, how could I put something in my body, in this thing that I love so much, how could I put this ingredient in there or this toxin? And that might start then an intrinsic shift. But that it's not about, like, you know, making huge drastic changes overnight, unless that's where you feel called. It can be one step at a time. Like, what is it that's lighting up for you now? What are you noticing? There's probably something that you'd like to let go of or do differently. It's been creeping around in there. So give yourself, like, the loving, accepting permission to go, oh, I am worth it. I am worth changing and acknowledging and honoring my system in a new way so that I can hear my body more clearly. And so that's what I've noticed. I have now spent years in really reclaiming my body, unwinding old trauma, unwinding old pains, experiences. I've spent years in reclaiming the way I eat to be clear and clean and in a way that the noise floor lowered, like all the scatter of the zillions of things and experiences of eating that happened for so long, settling that out so that now as I eat, I actually can hear the message because I eat in a clear, clean way and I know what I'm bringing in my body. So now if I bring something new in and my body says no to it, it's very clear soon instead of like building up over time and becoming a problem later. So that clarity, you know, letting our bodies, acknowledging them as vessels, like we are a vessel for our amazing energetic possibility, and opening, finding the clarity, making the space, and then opening to that energy, the power that's moving through our planet right now. So this reclaiming, meeting the body differently, all comes down to these tenets of sacred sexuality that it's really about. Can we slow way down with love and respect? And that love and respect, not just for our partners, but for ourselves. Meet and be aware of our bodies differently, advocate for them differently, and really reclaim our connection with our bodies, the earth and nature and other beings as a way of listening and honoring who we are. And as a path of healing, the things that feel uncomfortable and we don't want to carry anymore, there are ways through that. And those ways are broad and wide, and they may look a lot different than the traditional Western medical and therapy systems, but they often, the value of collaborating the two, of bringing the pieces from those traditional systems that are resonating for you in an opening to the non-traditional, or the, at least non-Western traditional, alternative ways of sacred, the path of sacred sexuality, of shamanism, of alternative healing medicine. There's so many ways of meeting the body, and it just starts with opening our eyes to see it a little differently. So with that, I want to invite a short break, and we'll come back to meet our bodies a little differently.
Thank you for joining us today. You are listening live to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. Leslie has a new website. You can find radio podcasts, video casts, and more free resources at Leslie Blackburn. The website is mobile-friendly and also has the full class and event schedule, information on private sessions, mailing list sign-up, and much more, again, at leslieblackburn.com. Leslie offers private sessions and has helped many hundreds of individuals and couples over years on their path of sacred sexuality. Sessions are available either in person or by Skype or phone. See details on the website under Classes and Coaching. There are also a couple of options for home study practices. Sacred sexuality classes on four new topics are now available by video. You can purchase access to these at the website. And the Tantric Energy Touch Workshop is available as an audio CD. Order online at the website. The best way to get announcements about upcoming events, as well as inspirational stories, videos, and radio show archives, is to subscribe to the email newsletter by clicking on the link on the website, leslieblackburn.com. Also, Leslie's Sacred Sexuality videocast airs monthly. You can choose your level of involvement, whether you want to be a part of the conversation live or just sit back and take it in. See details at the website to join in. The next videocast is Wednesday, October 4th. Reminder that Leslie is available for speaking engagements. More information at the website, again, leslieblackburn.com. And now, back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Inviting yourself to settle into your body. Notice with the breath. And take a moment to drop your awareness down into your belly, into your pelvic floor, into your pelvic bowl. Softening in the belly. Allowing your root gates to open, these places in the pelvic floor that are where our energetic being self connects down into the earth. So feeling the perineum, that place between the anus and the scrotum or the vaginal opening, is kind of the center of those root gates. Let your perineum soften and connect with the earth. Softening the yoni lips or the scrotum forward to the head of the clitoris or the penis, the lingam, and rearward of the perineum back to the anus and to the coccyx, the tailbone, and the plexus of nerves associated with the coccyx. So these five gates. Feeling your capacity to allow them to meet earth, to reclaim your connection with the earth. We are beings that are of the earth and the stars. So letting ourselves reclaim that connection, it is part of our energetic being plugging in, letting our energy systems discharge. This is why I invite getting your bare feet on the earth daily. Letting yourself reconnect with the earth, with the mother, and find what it's like to make peace with that connection. Places where we resist it, places where we're not sure about it or we laugh at it. Can we reclaim it? Trust it. And a call to the earth. Beloved earth, help us to connect our bodies to you. The deep space of the pelvis and the pelvic bowl, the womb. And as we claim that connection deep into the center of the earth, also opening our crown, breathing up through from the pelvis, up through the body, up into the crown to acknowledge and open to receive the sky, divine father, divine sacred masculine, help us to trust to receive your love, your grace, your light, the golden downflow of energy and light through our bodies to meet the juicy dark light of the earth. So their bodies become the vessel, the container for the meeting of divine sacred feminine, divine sacred masculine. And that those aren't genders. as we've talked about before, this qualities of energy, qualities of the opposites or complements, letting them meet, letting ourselves make peace with and release the any fears or resistance to those qualities of energy. That in itself is a journey. Can we trust to allow love in? Can we trust to connect and be present with our emotions, with our journey, and our connection with other beings? Can we stay in our body with our spirituality? Can we stay engaged and plugged in and grounded as we open our hearts and open to the bliss of the beyond? Yes, both. The magic of spiritual awareness with the matter, the solid connection to ground and body and earth, embodied spirituality. Let yourself notice how you feel in your body as you come back into your womb. Listen to what you have to say. What does your body have to say in the deep pelvic bowl? Open to listen. How can I love you? How can I help you feel safe? Ask. And then just give yourself space to listen. So with a breath of gratitude, for yourself, for taking time for you, for opening into listening, for giving yourself space to listen, for treating your body gently and with loving kindness. Deep gratitude. Have a safe and wonderful and exploration, playful curiosity kind of day, meeting the world and your body in a new way. Deep gratitude. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us today for Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. If you would like to contact Leslie, please visit her website, Leslie Blackburn. Leslie is available for private sessions and speaking engagements, and you can find out more information on the website. Thanks everyone for joining us, and have a beautiful day.
Join us again next time for continued support on your path of self-realization. The power is within you to heal your body. Connect deeply with others, manifest your heart's desires, and experience your deepest bliss. By our healing, we impact others, inspiring love for humanity and the planet. Thank you for joining us for Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn.